Well, it's good to be with you. I didn't deserve half of that introduction, but that's okay. He talked about the school, so we'll go with that. And you know, I didn't know Pastor Carter was going to do that, but I actually felt in my heart to share a little bit with you today about what the Holy Spirit's doing at Summit. We're about a month and a half into our program, and God is already doing a deep work in the hearts of our students. And I want to share with you not only what he's doing in them, but I also feel that the Lord would have me share with you, for you, what it is he's been doing. He wants to bless you. You're our sister ministry. You're our family. And he wants to feed you with the same bread that he's been feeding us with. And so with that being said, I'd like you to open to two passages of scripture with me. We're going to be starting in Galatians chapter 5, and then we'll be jumping over to 1 John chapter 2. Galatians chapter 5, we'll be beginning there, and then we'll be moving over to 1 John chapter 2. And while you are turning, I'm just going to go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit, I ask you to anoint me now, God, and to help me deliver your word with clarity. Lord, this is not my thought. God, I thank you, Jesus, that I didn't get this off of the internet or out of some book somewhere and just lazily threw a bunch of words on a page. God, I know you've spoken to me because, Lord, this is an hour of time. We need a word from heaven. Lord, the thoughts of men are not going to save this generation. God, the thoughts of men, the thoughts of men's hearts, oh God, our own ideas and strategies are not going to rescue our young people. Lord, it's not going to bring deliverance to our families and our coworkers. We need to hear from heaven today. God, come and remind us one more time of who you are. Lord, remind us, oh God, that you are greater than anything the enemy can throw at us in this last hour that we're living in. We thank you for who you are. We rejoice in who you are. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The title of the message is Stay in the Fight. Stay in the Fight. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a fight today. Because I have a feeling that there might be some here who just feel like the fight has been taken out of them in the past several months, several weeks, who knows. You can lose your fight in a day. You know, the enemy just knows how to lie. He knows how to take the wind right out of our sails. And you know, it's funny. I remember one of our students who's a graduate now. He's working in full-time ministry down in the Washington, D.C. area. He said, you know, it's crazy. I've been at this school for a month, and I've woken up in complete despair and been delivered by lunchtime. You know, just you go on so many emotional roller coasters in the Christian life. Forget Bible school. Just being saved can be quite a wild ride. You know what I mean? And, you know, the Lord put a word in my heart for our students. You can kind of, you learn to feel the atmosphere of the flock, if I could put it that way. You know, I've been teaching there for going on, I think, 7 years now. This is 7 years I've been teaching at the school. I love it more and more every year. God does an amazing thing. And there was just something in my heart. I was like, God, they're really struggling. They're going through something. And what can I say? What can I give them? And, you know, you have, you know, there's moments where people act out and there's misbehavior and they're reacting. They don't know why they're reacting to things the way that they are. They don't know why they're feeling the way that they're feeling. And that's just the human experience. How many days have you had where it's like, what is going on inside of me right now? I don't get this. I thought when I came to Jesus, I would be less confused. Ever since I got saved, I feel like I've got a whirlwind going on in my head. And there are days and seasons in the Christian life where that is what we're going to be feeling. So the good news is you're normal, if that is where you are. You're perfectly normal. But the Holy Spirit gave me a very specific message for them, and I feel he wants me to share it with you. So Galatians 5, I just want to read two verses, verses 16 and 17. This is Paul writing, and he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the desires of the sinful nature are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the sinful nature. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Nick, the reason why they're going through what they're going through, the reason why Christians have seasons of life where they just feel completely confused, they don't know what's going on in here. They thought, I'm supposed to be changing. I don't feel any different. I feel like I'm less like Jesus than I was when I first got saved. What is going on with me? He said, the reason why that happens is because there's a war going on inside of you now. And the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And what he does is he begins to go to war for you. Because every human being is born with a sinful nature. When Adam and Eve ate that fruit in the garden, they didn't just break the one rule that got them kicked out. They took on a new nature, the Bible says. Whereas before, they had a nature that desired God and was able to fellowship with him because they rebelled against his goodness and they spurned his love by disobeying that one commandment. They took on a nature that was naturally disobedient. And the only thing you need to do to prove the existence of the sinful nature and validate the Bible is to look at the news headlines. That's really all you need to do. The evidence of it is right there. You click on Yahoo News or whatever you have, your news apps, whatever, it's all right there. The sinful nature is everywhere. But that when you become a Christian, the Bible says you become born again, you get a new nature. And that new nature is given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he goes to war against your sinful nature. Maybe you used to be naturally an angry person. You had a short fuse. For whatever reason, the Holy Ghost steps in and says, that's not who you are anymore. I'm going to give you patience. I'm going to give you kindness. I'm going to give you an ability to be gentle. And at the end of the day, you look back at yourself and say, only God could have done that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But there's a process involved because sometimes there are areas of our lives that have gone unchallenged for years. And when the Holy Spirit begins to shake those areas, it shakes us. And you begin to respond, perhaps in ways that you never responded before. You don't understand why you're feeling what you're feeling. You know something's going on. You feel a little out of control. It's because there's a war going on inside of you. It's because the Holy Spirit is fighting for you. You are actually being loved by God in that moment of turmoil. He is working to deliver you and to set you free. And the challenge that the Holy Spirit issued to the student body, and I feel he's issuing to you today, is simply this. Say yes to what I'm trying to do in you. Just say yes. Because when you read in verse 16, when Paul says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not do what your sinful nature wants to do. Walking by the Spirit is actually not a complicated thing. It is basically referring to your lifestyle. Paul is saying, if you let the Holy Spirit be the one to tell you how to live, if you let him be the one to guide you in what is right and what is wrong, to change your behavior, to change the way that you think, you are going to find yourself walking in victory. You are going to find yourself walking in freedom. What can he tell you? Is the Holy Spirit allowed to come and say, I really don't want you feeling comfortable watching those kinds of movies anymore? Is he able to come and say, I really want you to delete those albums off of your iPod? Is he able to come and say, you really shouldn't be comfortable playing video games like that? Can he come to you and say, it's about time you forgave that person the way that I forgave you for your betrayal of me? What can he put his finger on? And the Bible says, if you will just say yes, you don't have to be strong. You don't have to be Superman, spiritually speaking. You've just got to say yes. And this is a tough battle, isn't it? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to get very raw with us about the actual condition of our hearts. He needs to approach us about very deeply rooted things in our lives. And you and I have to have not the guts, but we need to have the trust to let him do what he wants to do. Do you trust him? Do you trust what he's trying to do in your heart? If the answer is yes, then say yes to him. Let him do and accomplish the work that he's trying to do. When you say yes to the Holy Spirit, you are walking in him, and that is a guaranteed path to victory over sin and temptation. I want to tell you something. The pull of the world is not stronger than the power of the Holy Spirit within you. The pull of whatever you used to come from, whether you were walking in an addiction, whether you were used to being in controlling relationships, I don't care where you come from. It is not stronger than the Holy Spirit. And if you just say yes to him when he says, I want to go here in your closets. I want to go here in the dark corners of your heart. Will you let me? When you live a lifestyle of saying yes to God, you will always find yourself walking in victory. It's a promise. It is not an oversimplification. This is a guarantee from the Holy Scripture. You say yes to God, you walk in victory. But the Holy Spirit is also very patient and understanding, isn't he? Because saying yes is very, very hard. You know, I hear the stories from some of our students, And my heart breaks when I hear where they come from. It's very easy to look at someone and say, you get caught up in your own religiosity and you make yourself the standard of holiness and Christian behavior. You're like, I can't believe they behave like that. I mean, they're in Bible school. Come on, man. And then they come in your office one day. Oh, Mr. Nick, I really want to talk to you. Okay, sure. What do you need? And you've already got your preconceived judgments about their character and who they are. And then you hear where they come from. And you can't be mad at them anymore because you listen to what life and what the enemy have done to them over the years, and you immediately understand. And I can't be angry at them. And I can tell you, over the years, the Holy Spirit has put a will to fight in me for these young men and women. Like, I can't even describe. I will give everything to see them become all that God has called them to be. And I've only got a few minutes with you today, and my heart for you is the same. And I really want you to lay hold of what the Spirit is saying to us. And I had to challenge them just this past Friday. That what I'm bringing you today, I just shared on Friday in our chapel. I said, guys, you've got to say yes to Him. And I'm saying this knowing where a lot of them are coming from, knowing what they've been through. And I had to just work through it with them. You know, some of them, it's going to take a little longer because sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't just say, stop this, stop that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to come to you and say, you need to open up about this. You need to bring this skeleton into the light because I'm really tired of watching you hurting over it every day. Sometimes that's walking in the Spirit. Sometimes it's having the bravery to open up to somebody about where you've been. That is also a walk in the Spirit. Because the devil wants to keep you locked up with all those dark corners. He wants those things to stay secret so that the healing can't happen. Because he'll always be able to manipulate you in certain areas. He'll always be able to tell you certain lies that make you doubt, that cause mistrust to rise up in your heart, that keep lusts alive inside of you. Sometimes walking in the Spirit is being vulnerable with the body of Christ. Amen? But again, our God is patient. Because, you know, this is something we're going to have to do the rest of our lives. Fighting against the sinful nature. The Bible's very clear. You and I are going to have this thing with us and in us until the day we get called home to see Jesus. So when you're having days where this just seems exhausting, what do you do? How do we get the fight back again? How do we find the strength to stay in it? And I want to share with you what the Lord has put in my heart. And this is where 1 John chapter 2 comes in. And after this past Friday's chapel, we went into a time of prayer, just myself and a few student leaders who I had asked to accompany me. We had a time of prayer and fasting and lifting up the work that God was doing in the hearts of the students. And I found myself out of nowhere praying about the end of the journey. I found myself rejoicing and thanking God in what's coming at the end of our race, thinking about when we finally see Jesus and we go to heaven. And I remember my heart just being flooded with a gratitude. And it began, I started thanking God for what He was doing in the lives of the students and began thanking Him for the fact that this wasn't going to last forever. And the first thought that I remember hitting me is, God, You're going to reward us. Now, the Bible says that when we get to the end of this journey, Jesus is going to reward us for what we have done with the salvation that He's given us. If we have obeyed Him and we've answered the call of God that was on our lives, there's going to be a reward. And I remember thinking, why? Why would You reward me? I owe You. I owe You. And what I'm doing now is not even remotely comparable to what You've given me. And You're going to reward me? And it just snowballed from there. The gratitude and the worship in my heart just began to grow. I couldn't understand why in the world He would reward us. And I just began to speak out what God had said in the Word that's waiting for us when we cross that finish line. And you know, the one thing that I found myself really getting gripped by is the promise that this sinful nature is not going to be with me forever. There is coming a day. The Bible says, it is repeated all throughout it, there is coming a day when this sinful nature inside of me is no longer going to be with me. I will never be able to desire the wrong thing again. I will never be able to be tempted again. I will never be able to fear again. I will never be able to doubt my God again. It's a promise, and this is what's coming. This wrestling match that we have every day, the fight to say yes, the fight to surrender to the Holy Spirit, it's not going to last forever. It's going to come to a glorious close.
And I began to find myself renewed with a will to fight again. I began to find myself with a faith rising in my heart to believe even for the students and to believe even for you. Don't give up. Stay in the fight. Say yes to what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. Do not back down. You are guaranteed victory. You are guaranteed win. We sang it several times in this service alone. We are on the winning side. We are on the winning side. This is our hope. 1 John 2, verse 28. We're going to read into chapter 3. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." So the passage we're reading begins with an exhortation to live for God. John is bringing out the same battle that we just looked at in Galatians 5. Beloved, abide in Jesus. Continue in Jesus. Let him do the work in you that he wants to do. In verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Now, I need to pause here for a moment. John's audience was being told that if you had a certain kind of knowledge, you were no longer bound by any kind of Christian moral obligation. You could live however you wanted, and it didn't matter. If you knew enough, there was no more sin. That was essentially what they were being told. And John basically comes in and says, excuse me, if you know that Jesus is righteous, you know that everyone who's been born again is righteous like he is. So don't listen to that nonsense, false teaching that's coming to you. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So he starts out again, verse 28, remain in Jesus. Keep on becoming like him. Keep saying yes to God. Then he goes into verse 29. Don't listen to any nonsense that says sin has no consequence. We are called to be like Christ in this age. That's what it means to be born again. And then he goes into chapter 3, and he's not changing subjects. He's not. He's not talking from false teaching. Okay, love of God. Weird jump. No, it's perfectly logical. He says, you want to know who God's children are? Those who live like Jesus. And you know, on that note about being a child of God, look what kind of love God has given us that we could be called his children. And he starts going into the hope that we have as a result of this salvation. He starts talking about the hope that we have because of Jesus, only because he loved us. Can we be called his children? Only because God loved us can we have hope in this life and in this world. Because of the love of God, we not only have confidence that we are God's children now, in the midst of the battle, you are loved. In the midst of the struggle, you are his beloved son, his beloved daughter. But we also have confidence that something greater is on the way. Because what does he say? We are God's children now, verse 2. We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. What an incredible promise. We're going to see him as he is. The God who dwells in unapproachable light, the very essence of goodness, of holiness, we are going to lay eyes on him. We are going to see him. And his glory is going to be so overwhelming, it is going to slay our sinful nature for eternity, and we will be free. That's what it's saying. That's the promise of God. It will be worth it when we see Jesus. As that old hymn says, it will be worth every day of fighting, every yes, every hard yes that you had to give to the Holy Spirit. It will be worth it when we see him and we feel it leaving us. All the desire for evil, all the desire for lust, all the desire for temptation, it'll die in that moment and we will be free forever. That's our future. What a great salvation in the Lord we have. Salvation's a package deal. You didn't just get forgiven when you bent your knee at the cross and now that's it. We got everything. The moment you came to the cross, you got all of this. Everything that I'm talking about right now has been yours since the day you got born again. But sometimes we don't know it fully. This salvation is incredible. I'm talking, the sinful nature is going to be destroyed. The devil is going to be banished for it. I don't feel bad for him at all. At all. I mean, I'm pretty sure, I think I can say this, he's the one enemy I don't have to love. He's not in the image of God. He's not getting redeemed, so he's done. That's it. I do not feel bad about what's coming for him at all. We are God's children now. In this moment where you are feeling all this warfare going on inside of you, you are fully adopted as his child. You are completely loved by him. But there's still a fight going on. And we have to continue in this fight. We've got to stay in this battle until Jesus comes. And the hope of what's coming actually revives our will to fight. Look with me at verse 3. What does it say? And everyone who thus hopes in him, in Christ, everyone who believes that this is their future purifies himself as he is pure. When I was preparing this message, I was reading through a commentary that I have, and the writer put it very, very well. He said, hope produces purity. When you and I truly believe that this is our future, there's something that rises in you by the power of the Spirit that says, Lord, I'm glad to fight for you. I will not settle down with sin. I will not settle down for a selfish gospel that allows me to watch an entire generation go to hell. I'm going to stand up and fight for those who can't fight for themselves. I'm not going to settle down with compromise and with apathy. I'm going to get up and do something about my world because I know that I've been given a commission to do so. Whoever has this hope, if we legitimately have hope in Christ and in the promise of his coming, then we will purify ourselves. There's something in us that says, I am not settling for the devil's lie. I am not going to make peace with sin. I'm not going to make peace with an antichrist spirit. I am going all the way into what God has for me. And the amazing thing about it is this. It's not your job to be real strong and renew the fight in you. You know, when I'm tired, I've just got to get back in this word again. The promise is already there. And when you let the word wash over you, it gets rid of the doubt, it gets rid of the unbelief, it shakes the lies off, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm ready to go back out on the battlefield again. Let's do this. Let's go find the enemy and let's wreck his camp, you know? That's what this life is. I don't have to be anything. My one job is to trust him. That's it. If I really believe that he is who he says he is, then I will let him do what he says he needs to do in me. I'll say yes to him when he challenges me. I'll say yes to him when he's got to get real with me and bring an awareness to my heart of what's actually in there. Listen, I've had some brutal moments with the Lord. I'll give you one example just to even help, and then I'm going to bring everything to a close. You know, I remember actually sitting in this church. It was my first or second year teaching at Summit, you know, and I had come back from the mission field, and now I'm a full-time teacher, and I'm very holy and spiritual. And the school had come up to do the service. We come up and do the service here twice every year. The students love it. We think you guys love it, so we enjoy coming back. You know, but I remember I had been asked to speak the first time I came back, and, you know, it went really well. I was like, praise God, this is great. The next time we came up, I wasn't asked to speak. I was sitting down in the front row there, and a former classmate of mine was asked to speak. And out of nowhere, and the guy was so anointed. He was a great friend of mine, great brother in the Lord, and he's up here preaching his heart out, representing the school and what God does at Summit International School of Ministry. And out of nowhere, I'm sitting in the pew, sitting in the house of God, and I start feeling threatened by him. I'm like, I've spoken at Times Square Church too, you know? I've been up behind that pulpit, buddy, out of nowhere. And this jealousy and this arrogance started rising up in me. And I started, and don't misunderstand me, please. Like, this was not something I'd made peace with. Like, I've been making excuses for my sin. I immediately thought, God, where does this come from? I hate this. I don't want to be like this. I know this guy. We went through school together. We fought in prayer meetings together. You know, and why in the world am I feeling this way? And the Holy Spirit began speaking to me. And he said, Nick, this is what's been in you for a while now. And I love you too much to let it sit in there. Because if I leave it in there and continue to use you in ministry, it will destroy you. And I had to let him go deep. I had to let him do a little surgery on my heart. And I can tell you today, I am so glad that I did. I am so glad that I did. And by no stretch of the imagination am I perfected. I've still got things the Lord has to confront me on daily. There's still times you've got to fight off the lies of hell. You've got to fight off, you know, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life, as 1 John says. But the one thing I know, he's over and over again, I've seen one thing about him. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when I finally lay eyes on him, when I get to see him. And it's like John says in the passage, when he comes, I'm not going to feel awkward in his presence. When he comes, I'm not going to feel nervous or anxious about meeting him. It is going to be the most wonderful, glorious moment of my existence. Imagine, I don't want him to show up and all of a sudden I'm like, man, I haven't been saying yes to him at all. I have been kicking against him on everything. I want to be excited when Jesus comes back. I want to be excited when I hear that trumpet blast and I know it's finally over. We are going home. I want to be so excited. I'm ready to go now. But you know what? That the time of his coming is not ours to set, is it? We have a job to do in the meantime. We have an inward job and we have an outward job. We have to engage the battle in here, and we've got to engage the battle out there. And my exhortation to you is the same one I gave to the students on Friday in our chapel. Say yes. Say yes to him and mean it from the bottom of your heart. Listen, and even it doesn't have to be on all these issues. You don't have to bring a mountain of problems to God. Start with just one thing. What is one thing God has been challenging you on lately? What is one thing he's been digging at and maybe you've been kicking against? Let him do what he wants to do. And if you feel like I've just got no fight left in me, you come and you ask him, the Holy Spirit's going to refill you today. He will always give you more. You can have as much of Jesus as you want. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Again, same challenge that our students got on Friday. God is feeding you the same bread that he's been feeding us. What do you need to say yes to today? What do you need to stop resisting in your heart? Say yes to the Holy Spirit. And my challenge is, if you're ready, if the cry of your heart is, God, I'm done resisting, you can have whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. I say yes to you today. Then I want you to make your way out of your seat and I want you to come down to the front of this auditorium and we're going to believe God for the miraculous to take place in your life. You are not on the losing side. You are not going to lose the fight. The Holy Spirit inside of you is warring for you. He is fighting for you. And I also want to invite any here who feel like I just got the wind knocked out of my sails. I don't feel like I've got any fight left in me. I need a refill. Then you come as well and God's going to touch you. He will never, ever, ever despise the cry of the humble. He will never do that. If you fall into either one of those categories or both, you make your way down here. We're going to believe God to do a miracle in you. Father, I cry out to you for my brothers and sisters that have come down to the front of this sanctuary today. Lord, I firstly pray, O God, for those who are bending their knee and saying yes to you. God, you know where you have been challenging them. And Lord, I thank you, God, for moving upon their hearts, Lord. God, I thank you that you have been loving them, Lord. God, when you've been confronting these things in their lives, you have not done it out of anger. Lord, you have not done it because you're ashamed of them, Lord, or because you are angry with them or even disappointed in them. God, you have been loving them, Lord. You have been loving them into victory, loving them into freedom, oh God. It is your love that confronts us, oh God. It is your love that challenges areas of our heart, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us too much to leave us bound by things. You love us too much to leave us in Satan's prison cells that he's built around us with lies and through abuse and through things that we've suffered over the years. God, I thank you, Lord, that your victory and your healing is going to flow in and through their lives, oh God, because they're bending their knee to you. And Lord, surrender for the Christian is never without power. Lord, surrender will always bring about supernatural power. God, your word shows us that over and over again, that when men and women bend their knees to you, you begin to move, oh God, on their behalf. So, Father, I pray that you would scatter their enemies today. Lord, I pray that you would break every stronghold. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are going to keep them in the fight, Lord God. God, I thank you that you are going to give them all the hope that they need, oh Lord. You are going to give them all the faith that they need. Lord, I pray that you would even put a hunger for your word in their hearts, oh God. Lord, help us to be more in our word than ever before. God, help us, oh Lord, to let your promises wash over our minds and hearts daily, oh God. Father, give us a life in the Bible, oh God. Jesus, help us, oh Lord, to be diligent in this. God, the answers are already written down for us because you're that faithful. You take that good care of us, God. Lord, I pray for those that are down here because they just feel like they've got no fight left. Lord, I thank you that you're going to fill them up again. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that it's going to be so worth it when we see you. Satan, you are a liar. You do not have the right to discourage or harass the children of God. You do not have the right or the power to do that. Lord, we thank you even for the story of David and Goliath. Goliath took all the fight out of the Israelite army. He took all the fight out of him because he seemed so big and so strong. But then little David came on the scene. And with one stone and a sling, he took the giant down. And the whole army chased their enemies out of the country, oh God. And Lord Jesus, you are our David today. Lord, let us see you standing victoriously over the dead bodies of our giants, oh God. And Lord, let it put a fight in us again. Lord, we are called to chase our enemies, oh Lord. We are not called to sit under the lying voice of the enemy, feeling powerless, feeling depressed, feeling like we can't do anything. No, that is not who we are. The Word of God says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In Jesus' name. So, Father, we rise up today in faith, and we say that our identity is based solely on what you say about us. We are what you say we are. We believe that today. Lord, we ask for a renewed fight. We ask for renewed faith. And Lord, we ask for the continued grace to always say yes to you, God. And Lord, we thank you that we're going to be that overcoming church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. We thank you for this, and I ask your blessing on your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Remember that you're loved. Remember in that passage that we read, see what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That's where you get your fight from. You know that you're loved. Amen. God bless you guys.